9:05, welcome back to the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO and online at KFYO.com. And of course, the Radio Pup app, you can download it and search for KFYO, or you can do the whole current location deal. Now, sometimes that works. Just search for KFYO, easiest way to go about it, and you can listen to all of our programming wherever you travel. We've been visiting with a lot of candidates in the past few weeks, and some of the candidates that we've been speaking with, not only running for city council, but also school board in Lubbock ISD. And joining me right now to discuss his campaign for Lubbock ISD school board, the at-large position, which is open right now, Brett Underwood, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, tell folks a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for LISD school board.
As you mentioned earlier, my name is Brett Underwood. I am running for the at-large position. I work for the Trinity Company, which is a cotton storage facility. It's a family-owned business that we warehouse cotton for West Texas farmers. I received my bachelor's and master's at Texas Tech University. My wife and I have three kids. Two of them are school age, and they attend school through the LISD. I'm homegrown. I grew up in Lubbock, and at the heart of all, that's why I wanted to run, is the same issues that are plaguing this district and this city when I graduated Coronado in 1996 are on the table and on the horizon. And issues such as the dropout rate. You know, the LIC has made great strides. Don't get me wrong. They've done a great job, but there still needs to be more student engagement. And these are the things I would like to focus, if elected to the school board.
How do you do that? When it comes to the dropout rate, and you know, there have been programs that have started to get students back into school. How do you focus on that? How do you get kids? How do you prevent kids from dropping out? And how do you get the kids who dropped out to get back in?
You know, if you think back when you're in school, I mean, what really drove you to go to school? Was it your friends? Was it a girl? I mean, activities, you know, extracurricular activities. You know, the curriculum more or less wasn't engaging. There wasn't hands-on. It was more traditional, by-the-book curriculum. And you have to shift away from that, and you have to engage these students. And, you know, of course, parental involvement's the number one issue. I mean, if you don't have that, the only problem is the schools have now taken on the role of we become the parents. Mm-hmm. So they've done a great job by going and knocking on doors. You can target kids that are going in and out of middle school. That's really the prime time that you see the disengagement. Mm-hmm. So you can do data systems along that lines that target at-risk students, something along that lines where to kind of grab them and keep them and show them the efforts of why they want to be there. And if you set them on a track of so more or less a useful life of skills that they can take on in life. And that's the question we need to ask yourself. What are we setting our kids up for? We want them to be productive members of society. And so that's where the focus needs to be, is whatever these kids' talents are, we need to focus on those.
Does that take a rewrite of the current curriculum in your mind? Because, you know, being hands-on, there, I think there are a lot of people that go, it's not a bad idea, even in college. You know, your classes that you liked the most were those that you actually got to work with something that you wanted to do later on in life and not go strictly by the book all the time, at least for many out there. Those are their favorite classes where we're doing something with their future. So does that take a rewrite of the current curriculum, or can you phase in what you're talking about with what LISD currently has?
Oh, you can definitely phase it in. I mean, right now they're in between, is my understanding, in between C-Scope. And C-Scope to me is, I think it just hinders the creativity of the teachers. It's a timetable. And if they don't meet that timetable, they go on to the next. Mm-hmm. And I have a real issue with that. I don't agree with that at all. But you can, the continuing education courses, things like that show that, yes, you can use physics, you can use calculus, to work on a car. I mean, there's things to integrate to engage these students, and they're doing a great job. I just feel that the focus needs to be more centered on that.
Let me ask you this. There are probably, I'm sure there are other reasons why you decided to run. Whenever somebody runs for a position, whether it be city council or school board, there are a lot of changes normally that they want to make. They're invested. They want to be more invested into the school district. What are some other areas of changes that you would like to see when it comes to Lubbock ISD?
In regards to Lubbock ISD, it's kind of shifted away. I mean, I look at public education as a public good. And I understand the business mindset, and you want to make sure there's cost effective measures. But when you consolidate and when you bring these big, gigantic schools, it really takes away from the neighborhoods. And that has a big adverse effect because that's where you lose the kids and you lose the attention. They become a number. And I think that's really what we really need to focus on is maintaining what we have and not going away and building these huge capital outlay projects. And that's kind of what my thoughts on that.
Well, and that goes away from the current model because what they've been talking about with Lubbock ISD as well, in the past at least, we've had to consolidate these schools in order to save money. Is there a way to, you know, not have all these consolidations yet save money?
That's a very, very good question. To answer that, I think to answer that, you have to kind of consolidate to save money. But there's things that you cannot measure in cents and dollars. And when you take away that neighborhood, it's going to be a blighted neighborhood, and it affects everybody. I mean, this whole public education affects this city at large, and that's what I really want everybody to understand. This election's glossed over, and you go walk blocks, and people don't understand that what you're running for or anything about LISD, and it has a macro effect. You know, it affects no matter if your kids are in public, private, you don't have kids, it affects this city because if you don't target and you keep these kids in school and they don't get out of poverty, you're going to be paying for them on the back end. You're going to be paying for them in jails. You're going to be paying for them with the, you know, health clinics, whatever the case may be. You've got to target these kids.
What are some other areas? You know, you talk about, okay, we can't necessarily cut spending when it comes to under what you would like to see, what you would like to see when it comes to consolidation. But where are some other areas where you can cut money? I'm sure that there's got to be other areas where you can save money.
Oh, most definitely. And you know, it's easy outside looking in until you're actually in the mire of the muck and you understand why these programs are instituted or why they pay
right.
X amount of dollars. But from a layperson looking in, it is top heavy. And the focus needs to be on curriculum and learning.
Heavy as far as the administrative load?
Yes. And I don't know if that comes from, you know, state compliance issues or something along that lines. And don't get me wrong, you certainly need the expert managerial talent that's up there to make sure that those resources are used wisely. But do you really need a lot of those positions? I question that, quite frankly.
You question the spending and where the money goes.
Yes, I think so. I mean, I think so. Until you're actually in it and you see behind, you know, you go behind closed session, you see why that's allocated. It's easy for me to say that, but yes, outside looking in, I do.
Yeah, well, and that's something that I think we have heard throughout, not only Lubbock ISD, but you look at different school districts throughout the state where teachers are being forced to retire instead of firing them. They're forced to retire. They're asked to retire early, but you see more and more administrative positions being added. So it sounds like you want to reverse that trend if possible.
Most definitely, yes, sir.
What are some other areas on your website, elect-underwood.com? You talk about special education in regards to Lubbock ISD. What's your focus there?
Well, I think what I've got a few family friends and some of my wife and I have friends that have students that are special needs students. And there's not enough attention given to these students. And to go back and kind of piggyback off the dropout rate, little information is known on, I mean, not little information, but little's known or aware, let me say it that way. But a lot of the dropout comes from special education kids. And a lot of parents get frustrated and they pull their kids, or the kids get frustrated and they kind of see that. You've got both. You've got physically and learning disabled. There needs to be more counselors. They need to make those positions a lot more valuable. They kind of have floating counselors, but they need to be more focused because they need more attention.
What, as far as the bond election, we had one recently for Lubbock ISD, and it passed. Do you anticipate there needing to be another bond election within the next 2 to 4 years for Lubbock ISD?
You know, it seems like it's always a constant. They're always gearing up. There's a 2020 committee, and I don't know if that's going to sunset, but they're gearing up for a bond election. I guarantee that's always on the horizon because of funding issues. When it regards to a need, I think there's cost saving measures to address. I don't know if Judge Dietz is going to rule in favor of the plaintiffs and that'll free up some of this funding at a state level. But yes, they are, it seems like they're always making the appropriate steps to gear up for another bond election.
But it may not be needed.
I can't answer that without seeing, you know, the financials. And the financials, I've thumbed through them. I've gone through the check registers and I've looking through them. But it's easy for me. I think there's a lot of debt. There's 241 of GO debt right now. And before that's really serviced, I can't be in favor of a bond election.
Visiting with Brett Underwood. Let me ask you about this, and we'll start to wrap this up. But it's something that I've asked all the other candidates. I want to get your opinion on school safety. Obviously, has been something that has been in the news quite a bit. Attorney General Greg Abbott has, you know, he's running for governor, of course, and he's already said, hey, look, you know, I have no problem with teachers carrying inside schools. Local school districts can make that decision on the local level. You've seen other school districts make that decision. If you were part of the school board and someone came up to you and said, hey, what do you think about allowing teachers to carry, if they're CHL holders and they want to, carry their own guns on campus, where would you come down on that?
Wow, that's a very direct and tough question. You know, in regards to opening up a carry situation, you know, my wife and I both have CHLs, but to open it up to any and all CHL holders, I am not in favor of that. In regards of having, I'll tell you a second. In regards to having a marshal system, kind of like New Deal, and kind of I think Perry signed in the Children's Protection Act last year, where they're more vetted and they do more of a mental check on kind of anonymous teachers. Yes, kind of just like your air marshal in on an airplane. I am in favor of something along that line.
So some teachers should be able to carry, but not all of them.
Well, no, I think I wouldn't even say some. I would say you just designate an anonymous personnel person at each school, and you work in conjunction with the state requirements of that act and with the LPD. I mean, excuse me, the LISD. Police, but there needs to be currency training. Here's the problem with the CHL. The CHL, I have the CHL. When I took it originally, it was years ago, and it was a lengthy, I mean, it was right when they offered it, and it was a very lengthy weekend. They've watered that down to where now I think it's 4 hours. They don't do they do background checks, but they don't do mental checks. So I'm not open to anybody and everybody, but if I'm open to more of the kind of the air marshal or school marshal mentality or system.
So you don't think the current CHL system is good enough right now for where teachers would be able to carry on campus?
No, sir, I don't. Okay. I don't.
All right. All right, Brett Underwood, tell us real quick as we wrap it up, what separates you from your opponents? Why should folks go and vote for you in this election?
That's a good question. You know, being born and raised here in Lubbock, I have a good handle on the issues and kind of going through the system. But really what differentiates me, if I can verbalize that, is in regards to I look at my youth, you know, my age as an asset. You know, I might not be as tech savvy as a 16-year-old girl, but I do have a handle on what affects these kids and what motivates these kids. And the policy and vision that's going to be set by the board affects these kids. So, yes, that's what I feel is an asset.
All right. Brett Underwood, appreciate your time today. You can visit his website at elect-underwood.com.